Good morning. Welcome to the house of the Lord on such a beautiful morning this morning. I'd like to just highlight a few announcements. You'll see most of them in your bulletin. The country fair is this Saturday evening. I encourage all of you to come out and participate. And they're looking for people to bake pies and cakes and make some items and to auction off. And there'll be some special music. I know there's four guys that are going to be singing, right? So come on out Saturday evening. Fun starts at 5 o'clock. There's many other announcements. Pastor Matt is not with us this morning, and we pray that his family is doing well. I think he had a wedding this weekend that he was taking care of. And any other announcements? Anybody have anything else they'd like to share? I'm not seeing anybody raising their hands, so let's stand and greet one another and remain standing for our opening hymn.
What do you think? Start?
Thank you.
We come to this time of sharing our joys and concerns before our morning prayer, and I'd just like to share from the early service this morning. Bob Lengel shared that him and Wendy were just down in Georgia on a three-day trip to see Bob's sister-in-law, and she's going through some cancer treatments right now, so keep her in your prayers. And Richard, are you going to share what you shared earlier? Okay. I'm going to open up there and bring the microphone around, and we'll have Richard share from his request from earlier.
I wish that you would continue to keep the people of Nigeria in our prayers. The Book of Haram began killing Christians, burning their houses, burning their churches, shooting their preachers. A lot of them tried to escape to other areas. But they had not had jobs, they had not had homes, they can't find food. A lot of them are starving to death. They're trying to get back to their home area. And my prayer is that we as brethren would help to fund the Global Hunger Initiative, which is seeking to get money to the people that need the food. So that's my prayer, that we would help to fund the Global Hunger Initiative.
Thank you. If you have any joys or concerns you'd like to share, just raise your hand. Are there others?
Request prayers for the family of Betty Faults. Betty passed away yesterday morning.
Okay. I have a question for those who were in the National Youth Conference meeting this morning. How many youth have signed up so far? Do we know? 11? 12?
We're looking between 11 and 12, or possibly as many as 15.
Okay.
So that's something you'll be hearing a lot about over the next year as we work through fundraisers and prepare for National Youth Conference. So I'll just do the commercial right now. The Kobe's Viking Hike is September. It is the second Sunday in September, which is the 10th, and then immediately on the 17th, the youth will be having a soup and sandwich, so plan your lunch meetings accordingly.
Okay. You may think National Youth Conference, well, that's just an event that comes around every 4 years, and it's just something for a bunch of youth to get together for, and it really isn't. Experiencing it as an advisor, it is a life-changing experience for a lot of youth, and it really means a lot to, can really mean a lot to those who attend. As an advisor, it meant a lot to me, and it's a good event, so if we can get our hopefully 15 youth and advisors out there and we can support them, that'd be great. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Father, we rejoice in being here this morning. We rejoice that we can come and worship you freely, and we don't have to worry about someone coming through the doors and stopping our worship because of what we believe in, and that we believe in you, and that we just thank you that you gave your son Jesus to us. We can follow his example of when he was here on earth, and we can live by his example, and we can live by his teachings, and we're not openly persecuted, and maybe we should be, Lord. Maybe it would, you know, help us out in our beliefs and getting others to believe in you. But we pray that you be with the church in Nigeria. We pray that you not only be with the church, but with those who have been persecuted, those who have lost loved ones, those who are starving and thirst and have nothing to eat and nothing to drink. And we pray that it be our mission, the Church of the Brethren's mission, that we continue to support them, and through our financial giving, through our callings. And we just pray that you be heavy on our hearts about this subject, Lord, and that we can open up and freely give to support feeding and giving water to those who need it. Lord, we just know that there's many things that we can pray about this morning, and we have a list of those who we've been praying for on a weekly basis, and we add to that list this morning Bob Langell's sister-in-law for cancer treatments. We pray for healing. We pray for Pete, and we know Pete's been going through some issues, and we just pray that you continue to touch him and touch his life. And we pray for Pete and Carol's granddaughter and their daughter, and just pray for healing and just for being able to communicate. And we just pray for frustrated parents. And we just know it's just so frustrating sometimes. And we just pray for comfort and direction. Lord, we pray for those who have lost loved ones this past week. We pray for the Betty Boltz family. We pray for Carl Brightbill's family and Carl's death this past week. And we pray for the death of Ann's husband. And we just pray that you touch them and you be in our lives, that we might be able to support them in their grief and in their loss. And Lord, we just pray for happy events also. We pray that you touch those who participate in the country fair. And we know the event that this is year after year, and what it means to support those who hunger and support the local churches. And we just pray that might be a nice event, and money might be raised to do your work. Father, you know that we come here as your servants, and we pray that we can go out as your disciples, to go out into this world, to just spread the gospel, spread your word to those who need to hear it. And we thank you for Richard this morning, for Richard bringing the word, your word to us, and we pray that you be his guidance and support as he does that this morning. And after hearing his message at the early service, I look forward to the challenge that he presents to the congregation and all that we need to go on in this world to do our duties as disciples. And Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you that we can know you and love you, and that you love us, and we can go on serving you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
A miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace, of love and grace. Though here his glory has been shown, we still can't fully see the wonders of his mighty throne. 'Twill take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace, of love and grace. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom all the way through, and every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace, of love and grace.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we hold dear, now is at stake.
Humbling your hearts to God, safe from the chastening rod, seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians await.
Jesus is coming soon,
morning or night or noon.
Many will move in their doom.
Trumpets will sound,
will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise,
righteous
meet in the skies, going where no one dies,
heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er,
happy forevermore,
when we meet on that shore, free from all care,
rising up
in the sky,
telling the
world goodbye. Homeward we then shall fly, glory to share.
Jesus is coming soon,
morning or night or noon.
Many will make their doom.
Trumpets
will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise.
Righteous meet in the sky.
Going where no one dies.
Heavenward bound.
Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon.
Many will meet their doom.
Trumpets will surely sound.
All of the dead shall rise.
Righteous meet in the sky.
Going where no one dies.
Heavenward bound.
I'm heavenward bound.
for our offertory thought this morning. I'd like to share the first verse of hymn number 386. It goes like this. As saints of old, their first fruits brought of orchard, flock, and field to God, the giver of all good, the source of bounteous yield. So we today, first fruits would bring the wealth of this good land, of farm and market, shop and home, of mind and heart and hand. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you take these gifts that we present this morning, and they may not be of the field and as old, but they're from what our toils are, Lord. And we just pray that we can share our abundance for those who need it, for the work of the church, for the support of the church, and just to return unto you a portion of what is yours, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward with me. Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for coming forward with me. I brought a little something from my basket this morning, and maybe you'd like to look and see what's in my basket. What can you tell me about what's in my basket?
Tomatoes.
What else can you tell me? They're red tomatoes? Red tomatoes. Are they big or are they little? They're big and little, they're pretty much the same size. If you can see that big screen up there, they have beautiful tomatoes. My tomatoes are kind of little and they're kind of all alike, just all alike. If you look out here at the people sitting in the church, are they all alike? No, I think too, they're all different. We've got some that are tall, we've got some that are short, and we have some that are skinny, and we have some that are, we'll stop there. But they're not all alike, but they do have something alike. I think probably they're all Christians. And the large majority of them, that means most of them, are probably brethren. Now that doesn't mean that if you're not in our church, you're not a brother. You could still be a brother even if you aren't in our church. But most of these people out here belong to this church and they're brethren. And I'd like to share some stories with you about people from a long time ago who were brethren. A very long time ago, a man named Alexander Mack dared to be different. He left his country because he was different. He wanted to baptize in the water like we do. So he came to America, and there's a picture on the screen. You can see it on the monitor or you can see it on the big screen. He came to baptize people in the water like we do. That was being very different. He dared to be different. Then we have a man, and I think you may have heard about him. His name is Dan West. Dan West heard about children after a war that didn't have any cows or sheep or horses or goats or chickens. And Dan West said, these children need milk. So he was really different. He got cows together and he got on a ship with cows to take cows over to Europe so the children could have milk. Now think about that. Cows on a ship for weeks. Oh, pretty smelly and stinky. But he really dared to be different. He was called a cowboy and he took cows so that children could have milk. Some other people in our church do disaster rebuilding. After a disaster goes through, people lose their roofs on their houses, they lose their clothing, they lose their food, and a lot of things. So this past July, when most people were out having picnics and fun with their families and friends, and they could be at the pool swimming, there was a group of young people from our church that went to South Carolina. They were really different than their friends. They could have been out at the pool having fun. They could have been out having a picnic, but they went and worked on roofs so people would have a house to live in. They put in insulation. They did drywall, and they worked that week. They chose to be different in a good way. And I have one more to share with you. The Church of the Brethren also has what is called disaster childcare. These volunteers get a telephone call and they drop everything they have that in them that's going on that week. If they have appointments, they change it and they go out somewhere unknown some of the times. They're not exactly sure where they're going to be working. They're not exactly sure where they're going to be eating. And they work with children just like you, because the children's parents would be off trying to find clothing and food and shelter for their children. So the Church of the Brethren back in 1979 started this program. So we have a lot of people in our church family, who dare to be different, and these are very different things that they do. What could we do that would be different? And I know I said earlier, you hate the sound or the word school. School will soon be starting. Think about what you could do to be different when you go to school. And I mean different in a good way.
Help people.
Help people, yes.
Be kind.
That's a very good one. Not everybody is kind and not everybody helps other people. What if somebody's sitting there all alone at the lunch table? What could you do?
Sit with them,
a good one. You could go sit with them and be their friend. Or if they're on the playground and nobody's playing with them.
Play with them.
You could play with them. You could be the different child and go play with them.
What if you could make them happy again?
You could try to make them happy again. Very good. I think this would be a good group of people who dare to be different to go out and help others. So, will you pray with me?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Sunday. Thank you for the children in our church. We thank you that they're healthy and can run and play and go out and enjoy the afternoon sun. We thank you for this congregation who supports our children and the people who dare to be different, the people that they have supported. We ask now your blessing on each person here. Go with us throughout this day and this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.
For the morning scripture, Richard has chosen Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12, and this will be very familiar to you, as these are known as the Beatitudes. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Richard?
First, I have an assignment for you. If you didn't know, I was a teacher, so you always have an assignment. You take notice that there's no punctuation at the end of the sermon title. So at the end of the worship today, you'll either put a period at the end of Dare to Be Different, which would mean, yeah, be different. Or you might have a question mark you put there, like, who, me? Dare to be different? That's a question mark. On the other hand, you may decide, yes, I dare to be different. Then it's an exclamation point. So your assignment is to decide by the end of my thoughts which punctuation you're going to put at the end of the title. What's the difference between wanting to be different and daring to be different? Possibly it's in the individual psyche that determination differentiates the two. Why would anyone wish to be different from the crowd around himself or herself? Well, let's begin with social media. Do any of the following terms confuse you? They're in the news. They're printed in the newspaper. Let me read some of them. Disingenuous. Progressive put-down. Tech savvy. Gender sensitive. Assassination porn. Conspiracy theorist. Narcissistic rage. Secular progressivism. Abysmally ignorant. Vertiginous stonewalling. Confusing? These are terms that have been in the news recently. Is your confusion based on lack of proper definitions of those terms? Or is it the way our society is heading? Or are there conflicts with which with the way you were raised? Or because you feel that they are opposed to what Christ tried to teach us? There was a time when what we brethren said, what we did, what we wore, what we drove, set us apart from the rest of society. We no longer farm using tractors with steel wheels and equipment, nor do we ask our church leaders to give us directives concerning our clothing. We asked permission for various things over the last 100 years. In reading through the council meeting minutes of this congregation from a century ago, one instance of a request was members asked whether they would be allowed to drive road carts instead of always driving buggies. Council, and that back in those days, every member was expected to be at council, husbands, wives, and kids. You all came there. There was no leadership team to get the order of items ahead of time. When you walked into council and the whole church was there, anyone could bring up any topic, then it was discussed, then it was voted on. So they asked, would they be allowed to drive road carts instead of always taking the buggy? Council discussed it. There were pros, there were cons. And this was a decision. They may drive road carts as long as they don't adorn the road cart or wear fancy hats themselves, nothing to draw attention to themselves. They were allowed to do it. Amish pass my house daily, and every once in a while, some of them are driving road carts. The men, most of the year, wear black hats, don't draw attention to themselves, or white straw hats in summer. Women don't change their style of dress. They're allowed to use road carts 100 years later. And then there's another example of what we don't do anymore. I was recently told about a conservative brethren church right here in this area. They split over the question of using the internet. Some wanted to prohibit the internet because of what their children might view. Others in the congregation said they already use the internet in their business and they do not see a problem with having this service in their homes. And so the church split several months ago. They don't worship together anymore. Well, we haven't decided that we're so different about anything. Back in the day, 100 years ago and less, at the end of council meeting, the elder would admonish the people for their errors. And I got to thinking about that. Monday night, I came to every member council, and I waited and waited. And at the end of council meeting, Pam, our moderator, did not stand up and say, "Now, listen, you people are doing this, that, and the other thing wrong, and you have to change your ways." Boy, am I happy to be living now instead of 100 years ago. But, you see, that changes what I am contending. Where do we look for our base? We've changed. Much of what we think and do is controlled by our society. One of those first terms I used was secular progressivism. That's rampant in our day and age. People are trying to be like all those other people in the secular world. Well, where do we take our patterns from, our habits? One observer named Rollo May said, "The opposite of courage in our society is not cowardice. It's conformity." Think about that a second. The opposite of courage in our society is not cowardice, it's conformity. So my question, how do we combat societal conformity? Perhaps we have become too blasé about our seriousness as people for Christ's return. But make no mistake, every day, every action counts. Each Saturday in the Reading paper, there's a religion section. And regularly they have one called Faces of Faith. If you're a Reading Eagle reader, you know that a year or more ago, our organist Marlene was featured. Well, yesterday, a lady named Sharon Zach Calder was interviewed, and I want to read one of the things she wrote. The question for her was, "Describe some of the challenges and goals you see for your church." And it applies to Little Swatara also. "The biggest challenge for the church today is to try to attract young families in a culture that is increasingly busy and secular. There are so many things vying for people's attention today that they don't think that faith has any place in that lifestyle. What people don't understand, and I've seen in healthcare, is that everyone at some point in their life will face a trial or hardship in their health, a relationship, or a career. It is guaranteed. But if you have a foundation of faith and a church family from early on, it will be easier to get through that crisis than if you don't. You'll find out very quickly that you just can't do it alone." I think we could all say amen to that. I'd like to share from Romans chapter 6, the first verses, because we as a church, and you remember that when Jean was talking to the children, she talked about our mode of baptism. Paul is writing to the Roman church. He's never met them. He's in jail. He's heard about them. And he's talking about the same things that we're talking about. He says, what shall we say then? Should we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So we have been united with him like this in his death. We will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. I don't know if that's easy for us to catch on to. I don't know if that's easy for us to say, yes, that's something that I want to be a part of. We've gone through the process of baptism, most of us, but do we actually then take that next step? Several weeks ago, while traveling through Illinois and Indiana, I passed a hand-painted sign that said, "Where will you go when you die?" About a half mile further down the road, there was a second hand-painted sign that said, "Hell is real." So it wasn't very busy on that major highway, and I got to thinking. You probably have seen this sign. It's just west of Bethel on Interstate 78, just before you get to the exit. And it says, "You will meet God." It was put there by the Swatara Mennonite Church. So I'm driving along thinking about these three signs. So I put them together in an order, right? Where will you go when you die? You will meet God, and hell is real. My concern is that humankind has decided that everyone will get to a happy place upon death. The belief is everyone is good. Well, almost everyone. Is it possible that some people will talk about eternal death just to scare others, to get them to do as they say? But in their view, we'll all get to that happy place? So I beg the question, what is it that sets us apart from all the other churchgoers and from the community in general? Christ said, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will get into the kingdom of God. I recently read about a lady, an elderly lady. She pulled up to the window at McDonald's on a Sunday. And in addition to paying for her food, she saw in her mirror that there was a man and children in the car behind her. So she paid for his order and said, "Tell that man Happy Father's Day." Well, when that man heard that his bill had been paid, he paid for the next car. The people at that window that day kept count, and they said 167 people paid for the people behind them. That's different, isn't it? It started with one lady being pleasant and kind to the next person. I have a second example of being different. Some decades ago, the youth from this church went to Tuckahoe Acres in Delaware, and then we would drive out to the Indian River Inlet to the shore, and we took the great big army tent. Raise your hand if you were one of those people. Well, we had quite a weekend, great weekend. Sunday afternoon came, we had to put the tent down and fold it up and stick it in the truck. Everybody's bags had to go in the cars. And then some campers from around us came to talk to us advisors. You know, you never are quite sure what they're going to say after you've been there with all those 30 or more or less kids. This is what we said. I'm paraphrasing it sort of. When we saw all those youth piling out of the cars and then that great big army tent being erected, we thought, oh no, there won't be any peace and quiet this weekend. But the youth were pleasant, respectful, quiet after a certain time of night, clean, neat, and they had other things to say. They had more to say, more compliments. Today, those youth are the leaders of our church. But they were different. You might think of all the things that teenagers did 30 years ago that weren't acceptable. And those campers around us expected that, but that's not how our kids acted. Well, one of the things that is important is the Beatitudes which Gary read for us. Verse 3 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. They'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are the merciful. They will be shown mercy." I've been trying to read Friedrich Nietzsche. I don't know if you've read him or not. Don't bother getting the book out of the library. Well, he was writing in the 1800s, and he was writing about the masses of German people, and he said, it's the Christians' fault. The Christians take pity on people, and the people on whom they took pity now expect to have everything given to them. He said, it's all because of the Christians. They shouldn't have taken pity on people. Well, of course, I disagree with Nietzsche. And I talked to Pastor Matt, and he said, boy, when I had to read him in grad school, I kept thinking, that guy contradicts himself a lot. Yeah, I do too. So I'm going to take my second copy of Nietzsche back to the public library and say, send it back to the library from which it came. But he felt that the masses felt entitled because we Christians took pity on them. Verse 7 says, you know, blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the sons and daughters of God. And Jean talked about that with our children. The things we do to help out those others. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you falsely, say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then the kicker, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. They persecuted the prophets before you. And I think about disaster child care and the other types of projects that the church has pushed over the years to help those who need it most. I think about women who have been willing to drop everything at home and take their suitcase and head to wherever in the United States there's been a disaster, a hurricane, a tornado, you name it, they go. That's different. So many of us are pretty much tied to our schedules. And Galatians 5:22 also gives us a list of attributes: joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all of the patterning that you would need. Well, the topic of being different could go on endlessly, but I'd like to end with the following quote. Possibly many of you relished reading the articles by Walt Wilczek in our official Brethren magazine, The Messenger. He used to write in the back of it for several years. In one of his articles, he said, "If our creed is the New Testament, why do we feel a need to add so much to it? For people who are to be known by the manner of their living, we sure do yap a lot." Well, I think I need to give you my closing statement then. Ask Christ for your directives. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Follow where he leads. It's time to punctuate your bulletin. Let's rise, and from our pamphlets, let's sing the Beatitudes. Blessed are they.
Thank you.
God's blessing upon you this week as you seek to know his will and to live thereby. Amen.